Welcome to everybody. Let me just start this presentation. Sorry, it was already. Okay, so we're talking about pricing a segmented market subject to congestion, or what we will see is how can we put toll on a network such that some global objectives are obtained. And I will start with a very naive example. Naive, but not so easy. So let's consider a network. And let's suppose that we have a passenger or traveler who want to go, or commodity, who want to go from node A to node D. And he's just looking for the shortest path. The giving is utility, and the utilities of this traveler is only cost. So if he take the direct link between A and D, it will face a cost of six units. If you take, now, this is a fixed cost. Let's suppose now that we have three links where we can put toll or price or tax or something like that. So let's suppose that we can put toll on that, and you can think about the 407 highway near Toronto. So our traveler can go directly on a null untoll arc or take some arcs. He will take the arcs if it's advantageous for him to go directly and to pay the toll. So the game is for the firm to put the good tolls on the arc AB, BC, and CD. If the toll are zero, our traveler will go directly on the highway and they will go from AB, CD, and the firm will collect zero times one unit. So zero. If the toll is very high, let's say 100, the shortest path for our traveler will be to take the untaxed here at 6. And the revenue will be 300 times zero. So somewhere between these two extremes, they should have a solution where our firm can maximize its revenue. So one possibility is to put a toll of 2 on the first arc, of 0 on the second one, and a 2 of the other one. If we look for the shortest path here, and giving equality, the traveler will take the highway, then the shortest path here is of land 4, and he can take A, B, C, D, with a revenue for the firm of 4, four times one unit. So that will be the shortest path. So with this scheme, the toll put on each of this arc, the revenue for the firm is 4. Can we do better than that? Of course, for each subpath, we should be less or equal than the less cost on toll arc. So if the user wants to use A, B, and B, C, so the length should be less or equal to 2, because they have, or equal, because they have a shortest path on all toll on the upper arcs of length 2. So what will be the optimal solution here? Of course, the revenue won't be greater than 6, the cost that will face the travelers. Well, in that case here, the optimal solution is that one. It's not unique, but you put a toll of 4 on the first arc, minus 2 on the second one, and of 4 on the other one. If you look about that, the shortest path will be of length 6, and for each subpath, the highway path will be the shortest path, giving equality. Now, it can be surprising to put a negative toll, that for sure in highway. But in the airline industry, this is absolutely not surprising. It may be cheaper to go from Montreal to Paris than going to cheaper Montreal-Paris than going to Montreal-Amsterdam-Paris, even if No, let me say. Shorter. Montreal, Paris will be higher than Montreal, Amsterdam, Paris. You see. So, this is a very naive problem. But we can formulate it as that one. So at the first level, we want to maximize revenue. Revenue is the toll times the flow. Given that for that level of toll, the second level will solve a shortest path problem. This is a very naive, but we can see the optimal solution over there, which when we just have one toll, if we want to maximize this function, well, it's clearly non-convex with a lot of local minimum. And we are looking for global solution. So this model is very naive, but theoretically quite rich. Well, it has been proved, we have proved recently, that it is a strongly NPR problem. TSP, toll set, not the toll setting problem, but the traveling salesman problem, is a specific case of that model, of this very naive model. And but this model, on relatively reasonable size, is solvable for global solution, not only local solution, but global solution. And this model formed the base for more realistic models. We have considered here only one commodity. We can have multi-commodity on a network, which is the case in airline, rail. We have considered only one criteria, which is the cost of traveling on an ARC. In fact, people face out many criteria. In airline, the cost of a ticket is maybe very important for a student, but for a full professor, maybe the connection is more valuable than only the cost. The frequent flyer program for businessmen is very important. And they will pay $200 more if they can have 150% of aeroplane points. And this is the game. So the real life is multi-criteria. We don't have the same value of different attributes. Again, can have also multi-class. We don't have the same value for the time. We don't have the same value for the fact that the ticket is can be reimbursable or not. On a network, we can consider congestion. In our first naive model, they have no congestion. If we have a multi-commodity, we said the cost is 6. Well, the cost is 6, but if it took 3 hours because it's very traffic jam, well, so we can consider congestion. We can also consider capacity. If the fare basis code is available or not. And also, and all this environment in airline, you can buy your ticket 6 months before the date of departure. So they have a lot of time, dynamically. So even if this first model is very naive and simplistic, we can spend our life on this problem. It's NPR, a three sub-problem is a special case of this one, the traveling sales problem, and it's very, very rich problem. And more than that, is that all approximation method that we use to solve this real life problem use as a sub-problem this one. So in this presentation, I will just give you a very short background on bi-level programming, what is bi-level, and a revenue management background. But Jean-François will talk a little bit more than me on revenue management. I will now present the pricing model that we have considered, which include multi-class and congestion. And I will derive the algorithmic approach that we have used based on two phases. Phase one, which consists in starting to obtain a very good starting point, and then use an ascent approach to try to solve this non-convex and difficult problem. And then some numerical results. And I will conclude with 5 slides on a real-life application that we have with SNCF, which is the Société Nationale de Chemin de Fer Français, which is the rail company in France. So, bi-level programming and revenue management. So we have seen here 2 players. So pricing and scene inventory, it's a dual one over the other one. Optimization require a comprehensive representation of both the seller and the market, the reaction. So here we have 2 agents, we have 2 players. The price and the inventory control are clearly part of the seller model. So Air Canada decide the price and decide how many tickets they will sell in Tango, in Tango Plus, in Latitude, and Business. So, if Air Canada or SNCF want to maximize their revenue or obtain some commercial objective, they have to take into account the reaction of the market. So, need for a detailed and implicit representation of the market, reaction to price, product, and competition. Or which jet will react to the control decision of Air Canada. So they have a lot of models that we can consider. A very naive assignment model, the one that I just presented, it's a linear one, it's easy. That can be discrete choice model, logit, multi-logit, cross-nested logit model. It can be an equilibrium model, and in this example that we'll present, it will be an equilibrium model. Now, the segmentation of the market. So, how to qualify this attribute? So, how many classes? When we talk with people in the industry, they typically talk about frequent business people, less frequent business people, leisure, and very less leisure people. So, they have their own segmentation. Well, maybe for fun or not for fun, but we will consider an infinity number. So we will have a distribution of this value of time. So in airline and rail industry, the capacities are quite fixed. It is already known 3 months before that the flight at 10:30 tonight will be a 320, Airbus 320 with the fixed capacities. So it's quite fixed. We cannot move it during the last days. But in telecommunication and road transportation, the congestion, which is really related to the capacity, has to be considered. Congestion or quality of service in telecommunication. So, bi-level framework. What is a bi-level program? A bi-level program is nothing else than a mathematical program. So if you consider only the 2 first equations, we maximize capital F function giving a set of constraints. So this is, you have seen that. The difference with bi-level programming is that a subset of the variable, the Y variable here, has to be an optimal solution of a parameterized, another parameterized optimization problem, which is parameterized with the remaining set of variable X. So in our example before, X here is the toll that you have to put, and Y will be the reaction of the market. In our case, it was a very simplest model. It was a shortest path problem. But this is a bi-level. It is generally non-convex, even more disconnected. It can be disconnected. And in fact, this problem has been studied for the last 25 years about. But recently it has been shown that even checking that a local solution is strongly NPR'd. So it is an interesting problem, even if all functions here are linear. But the simplest case is when our capital F, G, F and G are linear function, this problem is strongly NPR'd. The MIP, mixed integer programming formulation, is a special case, can be easily reformulated as a bi-level problem. So you can spend your life studying this type of problem. It's very rich for modeling equilibrium, but difficult to solve. And it's related to the Steckelberg equilibrium problem.
You spend your life studying?
Yeah, still a few years again.
Yeah.
I'm not alone. So the pricing model that we'll consider in this presentation is that one. At the upper level, the firm seeks for a price vector T on a subset of arcs that maximize its revenue. If you prefer, you may see the first level as a government who want to put tax such that to induce system optimum. So induce the traffic that will minimize the total delay times, because user won't react as socially, they will react as a selfish, and they will look, every traveler will look for his shortest program. So upper level is the firm, if you want to maximize or minimize the total delay, like you want. At the lower level, it's the reaction of the market. So demand is segmented with respect to the inverse value of time. So we will consider two criteria, two attributes. The first one is the price, and the second one is the time. So we need a parameter for each people to translate price to time. And we will segment the demand according to this value of time. And value of time will be characterized by a continuous density function. That may be surprising, and I remember that the first time that we presented to Air Canada, they are used to work with five groups of users. We are working with an infinity number of groups, which is easier for analysis, but a little bit more difficult than discrete case. But if you look about time and costs, we can think about the distribution of the income of a family, of a people. And we said the people who gain a lot of money has typically a greater value of time than, well, a student. Finally, the customer will then minimize their utilities, their disutilities. They will maximize their utilities, and they will minimize their travel perceived costs, which will correspond to the delay on a path according to the total path flow, plus the inverse value of time the cost. A fixed cost, the cost of, let's say, for 100 kilometers, it's, $10 of fuel, plus the toll that the highway authority has put on it. So each passenger, each traveler with value of inverse value of time of alpha will face a cost of that. And, well, the problem is now quite easy. Well, easy for people in transportation. If the toll is fixed, each traveler will maximize their own utilities, and they will look for the equilibrium that will make the choice of his path. So look, this is a variational inequalities, and what they say is that a traveler will take a path if and only if it is the shortest path for him, according to the equilibrium on the network. So the last equation said that the perceived cost will be less, the one that will be choose, V here, will be less than all the other for all Y feasible, all other feasible path. So we are looking for an equilibrium here, and it's quite easy to show that this exists and it is unique almost everywhere. We will see it a bit. So we are looking for what? We are looking for the vector of density of flow. If d is the gradient of some function, a small d, then the variational inequality that I presented just before is the first order, corresponds to the first order optimality condition of this second level optimization problem. So I prefer to work on bilevel programming. Patrice Marcotte prefers to work with variational inequalities. But given that d is a gradient, then we can write down again in the form of bilevel programming. So now we have to solve this problem. Even it's not an easy one. So what are the properties of that? Well, we will work on a basic diagram. This problem is in an infinite dimension, but in fact we can put in an infinite dimension, finite dimension. So let's consider this basic diagram. And suppose that the total flow is 6 on each path, and that the toll are 6. So I am a traveler with value, inverse value of time of alpha 1. So in front of me, for given commodity, I can see, I don't know, 5 paths. Different paths from my origin to my destination. For me, I don't take a good one. I am here, let's say. So my shortest path, given the equilibrium, will be the path P2, which is the shortest for me. For another one, with value of time, that one, the shortest path will be P5. So for each traveler, we have an infinity of travelers here, they look and they see only one cover. Now, here you have the delay. So according to the equilibrium, this value, this point here, will move. And according to the taxation that we will put, the slope of each of this path, of this segment, will also move. But what we can see is, giving that value of flow and giving that toll, some of the paths are irrelevant. So P1 is a dominated path that will never enter in any solution. Some other one, like P2, P4, and P5, are strongly undominated. And the big problem for us are these paths here, P3, and which are weakly undominated. So we can see here that we have some degeneracy. If we switch a little bit, then we will have some problem. And remember that this basic diagram is illustrated when T, the toll, are fixed, and the V, the total flow on each path, are also given. But in reality, everyone will move. But just one assumption is that for all distinct extreme point which correspond to path here, then we suppose that the fixed cost is different for all. So two results here. If the delay function d is strictly monotone on the compact polyhedron y, which correspond to the feasible path flow, then the equilibrium solution is unique almost everywhere. Unique almost, except as these points where they have a weakly undominated path. If the delay function is, again, strictly monotone on the compact polyhedron, then the function v, so the way the flow is modified according to a variation of the toll, the vector of toll, is also continuous in t. This is an interesting result here. Now, according to this basic diagram, what is interesting for us is to obtain this partition, the point where we have a critical activity here, so that we will call critical point, and we are looking for these intervals. These intervals are important. And if we can partition our value of time between 0 and alpha max into disjoint subset, with each of these points correspond to a critical point, then these points can be analytically given as soon as the total flow is known and the taxation is known also. So for a total V bar and T, we can compute this value quite easily. And we can solve the problem with for a given taxation level by Frank Wolf linearization approach. This is quite known for the wire drop equilibrium. So this is quite easy to compute. Now, revenue function. What we want to do is to maximize the revenue. So we want to maximize the summation of the toll put on each arc time the total flow of this arc. And remember, we are now in a multi-commodity framework. So, some property. This function is continuous, but non-differentiable. Well, in fact, it's differentiable almost everywhere. The only point where the function is non-differentiable are these critical points when you have a weakly undominated path. Unfortunately, this function is non-concave. So if you want to use an ascent method on that, well, according to the starting point, you may converge to a local solution. And the gradient, that's a good thing, is quite easy to compute. Where differentiable? And it is always, almost everywhere differentiable. It's just algebra. You can compute this gradient, and the formula is quite long, but it's not very it's easy, it's just technical, and we have here the gradient. So if the weakly undominated set is on T, then the value of time density is continuous, and the value of time density function is continuous, then the function is differentiable. Well, we cannot ensure that the set of weakly undominated is not empty. If such, we will take an harmonic step on that direction. So, what is the ascent algorithm? Well, phase 1, step 0, find an initial point, T0, and set k equals 0. So we start with an initial point, and then we use an ascent method using our gradient that we just computed. So this is quite classic. Now, the next step in my presentation is to show how can we find a good starting point for that. And the idea is to use this hybrid. So, starting point from a discretized problem. So we will consider a discretized version of our model. We have two things that we can discretize. The congestion function, which is continuous, so we may discretize it, and the density function of value of time. Instead of considering a density function, continuous density function, we can approximate this density function by a discrete one, with a given number of class of user instead of one. So we will discretize the density and congestion function to obtain bi-level discretized problem. We will formulate this problem as a mixed integer program, and we will solve this problem with branch and cut algorithm using the algorithm Cplex. Starting from this point, which is an approximation of the real continuous problem, then we will use the local ascent method. And we will see later that improves a lot the solution. So to discretize the density function, it's not very difficult. We we have different schemes. This is one, so we discretize in three classes of user instead of an infinity. Here it's a possibility. We may have a lot of other one. And we want also discretize the congestion function. So if the capacity of the arcs is 1, then that is about the look of a congestion function. Well, we can decide that we will take a fixed length here for the congestion, or we can discretize by using a fixed wide 8 of the congestion. So we can use a fixed 8 or fixed wide discretization scheme. So we have two possibilities here. And putting all together and a little bit of work, we obtain this mathematical program. And it works. It is the basis of the first one. We have seen the first one, remember, in the introduction, the very naive one, which was a bi-level programming. We can rewrite in a single-level programming, but with mixed integer variable, which appear here. But the solution of that, this problem, is the solution of our pricing problem, given that we have a finite number, this time finite number of user, and given that the congestion is nice stepwise here. So if the flow is somewhere here, the congestion is that level. If we are here, the congestion is that level, and so on. So we are able to solve to optimality this problem if we are able to solve to optimality this mixed integer programming problem. And that can give us a good starting point. And the good starting point for us is somewhere in that. You can see here we have the toll, TA, in the middle of the presentation. We have a nice theoretical result showing that if the discretization is going to infinity, if the norm is going to zero between, then we have convergence to the previous continuous optimization problem. So that's a good way to solve it. But you have seen, for those of you who are familiar with mixed integer programming, the previous one can be difficult to solve on large discretization. But that's a nice one. That told us that it's a good idea. You discretize, and your steps are quite fine. Well, you will converge to the true solution. So, an example. So let's first consider now this network with four nodes. Similar to the previous one, you have here the. We will first consider that the delay is fixed, so no congestion. The delay is fixed and is given by the number which are not in parentheses. The costs are given in parameters. So if we look about the path, let's say that we just have one commodity from node 1 to 4. If we look for the direct path. So the cost, the perceived cost of user alpha will be given by, so the path 1-4, the delay is 20 on this path, the fixed cost is 25, the value is alpha, so the perceived cost will be 20 plus alpha times 25. For all the other paths, A, B, C, D, A, we just have four paths, you can see the different perceived path costs for each of these paths, given that you are a user of value alpha. Now, if you just use the ascent algorithm, recall that the delay is fixed here, and we start from the toll 0, 0. So the toll, we can put a toll on the arc 1, 2, and we can put a toll on R34. So starting from 0, 0, well, we converge with 2D solution of value 148, which is not optimal. It's a local solution. Now, starting with another point, 5.8, we converge here to the true optimal solution. In that case, we can find the analytical optimal solution. It's easy, a small problem. And the optimal solution is 156. Now, what's the advantage? So we have start with 2 starting points. Now, can we be more wise on choosing our starting points by using our discretization method? Well, if now we are going back, before that, starting with 0, 0 and with congestion, we can see that it changed, obviously, the value of the optimal solution. So it's an exponential congestion function that we are use here. Now, so we have seen that the starting point is important. What can we do here? So the optimal solution, that's the optimal solution with congestion. It's 217. What are the solution when you discretize? So in the first column, N is the number of user. So the discretization of the continuous density function, the number of user. So we're starting from 2 to 32. And L is the number of step of the congestion function. So we can 2, 5, and we go up to 32, 5, up to 20 step, different step of the congestion function. What is quite clear is when the problem becomes bigger, even if we just have 4 nodes here, but we discretize a lot, it can take about 2 hours of time to solve the mixed integer programming problem. The exact solution is 317. So with this scheme here, 4 class of user and 10 step discretization for the congestion, we are quite close. But what we have seen is that it seems to converge. Theoretically, it will converge. We have proved it, but it converged quite slowly. But that's only the starting point. From this point, we now use the ascent method, which based on the gradient that we have compute. So we can see the difference with the egal width for the discretization of the congestion function or the equal 8. Not very big difference between both. And we can see the convergence here to the solution. That's the good one to see. The other one just gives the solution of the discretization. But recall that the discretization doesn't give an equilibrium on the market. Giving that toll, we compute the exact equilibrium at the second level to obtain the value. And so again, we can see that it seems to have a numerically a convergence, even if theoretically we will have it. But solving this problem with a lot of discretization take a lot of time. We don't need it. And this is the next. So on the test problem now, we have considered a little bit bigger problem. We consider 10 origin destinations, so 10 commodities. We have 30 nodes, 200 arcs, and on these 200 arcs, 20 can be tollable. So that will be our problem. Here we consider for each commodity a domain of 1, and here we consider a domain varying from 4 to 8 randomly chosen for each of these commodities. The delay is between 20 and 50, and the cost is between 15 and 35, and we use exponential congestion function with that. And for this problem here, the delay is multiplied by 30 for the first class of problem, for the competition. So let's say that the leader has I weigh 407, and the competition is the free highway with a lot of congestion. So that's maybe during the rush hour. And in the other instance here, the delay is less than the previous one. So that's the data. And we will use some discretization starting point problem. So the first one is we don't use the discretization starting point process. We start with the zero tax. So we put a tax, a toll of zero. B, C, D, E, and F, well, we increase the number of user on the value of time density function, so 2, 3, 4, 2, 4. And for the congestion step, we go from 2 to 4. So don't even think about the 32 discretization and the 20 step. It will take ever for CPLEX to try to solve this very large MIP integral program. But we will see that this is enough. So, for the first problem, which is a little bit easier, maybe it's not so easy to see that, one of the difficulty on that is to find, remember that the toll is the same for each commodity. So one difficulty in multi-commodity is to try to find the good toll given the variation in the demand for each commodity. So the problem B for people who are aware of taxation problem is much more difficult to solve than this one. We may think that this problem is more concave than that one who may have a lot of different local spots. And this is what we will see here. So starting from point zero, that for the 10 instance, that's the optimal solution that has been obtained. We just use the ascent method to solve it. Starting from the first discretization, and as we are going by there, the discretization is better. So now starting from the point obtained and using the ascent method, we have improved in average by 2%, almost in average 2 to 3% improvement over the zero tax starting point. So the discretization here is quite useful and help to improve the revenue by almost 2%. In the B instance, the problem is much more difficult. So starting from toll zero seems to lead to a very bad local solution. Starting from the other one, even if it's a very coarse discretization, will give improvement of 7 to 8%. Now, if we prefer to minimize the total congestion, so we are more socially acceptable, want to find the tax such that the society will be better, and you will induce people who will act individually to act socially acceptable. So again, the A is quite easy. Starting from T0, we obtain in average this value. And we can improve by about 2%, 1 to 2%, starting with a better point. And on the B, the improvement is now 3%. And this is not surprising. Between the system optimum and the user optimum, typically they have a difference of 2 to 3%. And I will just present a very short application at SNCF, Société Nationale de Chemin de Fer. It's a quite big a company. It's a company of, in France, of the value is 20 billions of dollars, milliards of dollars. And as you know, for those who have been there, that's the TGV. So we have worked with them to look at the pricing and the control inventory of the réseau, the networks between Paris and Marseille. Marseille and Nice also. But the TGV stopped at Marseille, and Marseille, and after that it's a slow train to go there. So we are looking about this for a full year. And this is, and Jean-François will come back about this, but we are going back to our bilevel model. It's a hierarchical bilevel optimization process. At the first level, the carrier, which is SNCF, seeks to maximize revenue over all network while taking into account commercial constraints, policy, fare structure, rules, social constraints. They have a lot of social constraints in France. They should reserve room for the cheminots, and a lot of room should be reserved for them. Network constraints, availability constraints, competitor offering, and most importantly, the customer behavior. In our previous example, the customer behavior was given by the wide-drop equilibrium. In the first example at the beginning was a very naive shortest path. Here we will use a cross-nested logic model. And the customer will seek to satisfy their travel needs while maximizing the utility associated with their purchase decision. So at the upper level, the SNCF will decide the price and will decide which tickets are available at each time. They will consider price and other product attributes. It can be tangible or abstract. They have access to detailed competition information, and they make informed decisions. That's an hypothesis, but it seems to be, in general, quite true. And again, something that has been changed during the last year is that the availability of price and product and the price of the competition with the web is very easy. I don't know if you buy your ticket, you can look about all the offer. And more than that, a company will put different price to different channel on the web. According to which channel you will, if you go to the, I don't know for Air Canada, but Air France, the price that you will obtain if you buy a ticket on the website of Air France in Montreal and in Paris will be different. And not only because of the rate. So that's the bi-level program. We want to take into account the reaction of the market directly into, not in a guy-side-all fashion, but directly in a stackelback one. So that's the idea, essentially, is to write down the optimality condition of these problems to obtain a one-level optimization problem, which is strongly non-convex. So the different optimization mode, and I will let Jean-François talk about that, but we can play, or the control variable of SNCF is the price and the allocation or inventory. For SNCF, they can sell at each time 15 different type of ticket. For a given OD, Paris, Marseille, they can offer at the same time 17 different type of ticket with different products, even if it's the same train and in second class we may have 10 different products for the same service. So we can take the price fix and optimize only the inventory. So according 90 days before the departure time, what you will offer for a train that will start at given hour 90 days later. What are the product that you offer? Now, the day after, you observe the incoming flow, incoming buying, booking, and then we decide, and so on. And you have a lot of constraints, nested constraints. If you close a cheap ticket, you cannot reoffer this ticket later on, and they have a lot of different rules about that. Here you don't see the summation, but that's the increasing in terms of percentage and in terms of revenue, and it's more, now we said at the top it's 20%, so it is possible to obtain increasing. That's the statu quo here, and that's all the potential that they have, and that's an equilibrium. Over than that, people will start to go to the competition, and they will, or to no travel. So in the logic model, you have the no travel choice, you have the competition choice, and so on. Also, it is possible with this type of study to, that's the structure of product that they offer. In France, everything is a little bit complicated, and that's all the, you have the, you may have a rebate for the annual holidays of 50%, given that the class BD is open, and so on. So a lot of possibilities. And they ask us to see, well, in red, that's new product that we want to introduce with the attribute for each of these what would be the impact on the society? Well, in PACS, in Passenger, the model told us that it will be a reduce of less than 1%, but in revenue, it will be a reduce of almost 3%. So this card...
You mean the introduction of these
things? Yeah. They asked us for about 10 scenarios, and that was the worst one, the other one. So it's possible to introduce this type of... it's quite big problem. The choice model here has been calibrated on 13 million of observation. It was for 1 year on this market. And we use a cross-nested logic model to calibrate it, to as model. So if I conclude this first part, well, phase one, which was the discretization phase, find a good solution with a very small number of groups and steps on the congestion. Discretization of congestion was more sensible. We have developed now a student, a master student has developed an adaptive discretization. So giving a very small number of steps for the congestion function, we start with 4, and then we resize this step, still keeping 4 steps, and adaptively we converge. We have shown that we can converge to the optimal solution. That was a very interesting result. So hybrid algorithm appear to be efficient in max pricing. What's the advantage of bi-level programming? Well, it provides a global picture. This is the way to modelize revenue management problem. We may like it, or you may not like it, but this is the way. A firm take a decision taking into account the best answer of the market. That's the way to solve it.
Taking everything.
Taking everything, not only the demand for a specific product, because products are substituted, and you will see it later. The bad thing about bi-level, but that's good for us, it's a difficult one. So we can still work and on algorithm to solve it. And on future work, we are working on inverse optimization, exploiting the structure of the problem. This is already done, and on some stochastic issues. So that gives you a first idea what we can do in bi-level programming. It's very interesting with application in a structure, mechanical, not only on management and on pricing. And just to recall, it's a very large class of problem, as MIP, bilinear disjoint problem, quadratic concave problem, complementarity problem, or specific case, special case of bi-level linear instance. So the easier one, all these problems fit in bi-level programming. So thank you for this first one.